Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the Divine Will ebook series where we take a methodical review of Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we attempt to dive deep into it, not adding anything to it, just allowing it to come out on the surface because it does have abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval. By the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. So the church has placed its stamp of approval on it. This can be used. This can be used in public settings. There are several bishops that have given their accommodations of it as well. So great tool as we await the critical edition's release, because quite frankly, we don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be years from now. We're not sure. The Archbishop of Corrado has stated that there are no errors in Luis's writings. We'll just get that straight. But there are some ambiguities. There are some situations and pieces of Luis's writings that the church is having difficulty explaining. And Jesus knew this. He said, it's going to take the church a long time because they're going to try to explain this in human terms. They're going to only try to use their intellect. And this is a divine reality. This takes way above just the human intellect. They have to have trust. They have to have faith. And they need the mystical gifts that God gives us, which is like learning the language that we're speaking. We don't speak the language until we learn it. So the language of heaven is being taught to us. It's not a different vernacular. It's not like English, French, and German. But rather, it's an understanding of the words being used because Jesus is bringing himself down to us to use our vernacular in which to communicate with us, at least now. But the meanings behind the words, a lot of times there's not a translation from one language to another. It's not exact. I know my wife's Filipino and Tagalog and English. There's some words, there's not a connection. So you have to sort of do a workaround. Well, it means sort of like this and sort of like that. Well, God is going to do that same thing that's sort of like this, sort of like that with each and every one of us because we all are slightly disposed differently. We all have different understandings, different intellects, different paradigms. But he's touching us all in the volumes. Because if you think about it, why does he say the same thing a dozen times? Because he says it slightly differently. Because, on the 11th time, I finally said, wait a minute, let me think about that. Where the first nine, I totally missed it. So he gives us ample opportunity because there really isn't much we have to do, if you think about it, to receive this gift and to be where God wants us. I know what I want to do right now is I want to unmute Maureen because
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Maureen.
Good to be here. Hi, everybody.
Well, I didn't mean to go right into that, but I'd like to open with prayer first, if we may. And apologize my allergies today, but I'll try to get through this. In fact, after this, I'll let Maureen do most of the talking. That'll work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. Name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to come together again. Again, just bringing to light for those of you who are not familiar with Father Annuzzi's dissertation, and even those of us that are familiar with it, we keep learning more and more of the treasures that are contained in it. 16 years of Father's work. And again, this is exactly what we need, I believe, to help us through the volumes. Remember the Archbishop of Corrado. Let me see if I can go to that, Maureen. the late Archbishop Corrado, Archbishop Bacheri. He asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. He also went on after this communication, he went on to say, but this does not mean you don't, I'm perfect, you don't, that does not mean you do not gather, does not mean you do not read, study, interact, exchange ideas. All that's good and actually is supported by the Archbishop. He was talking about those, again, those ambiguities, those situations where we're not quite sure theologically how it's represented or exists in our faith. And that's where we need to go to the theologian. That's where we need to go to the priest. And unfortunately, there aren't many priests to go to, especially divine will priests. But again, this dissertation gives us sort of like Father Annuzzi. It's like Father Annuzzi it's like having Father Annuzzi virtually 24/7, like we have the adoration. It's like it's always here. Anytime we pick up the book, he's going to be here guiding us, because what he did was, and we're going to read that in a moment with Marina's, he gave us he translated all the volumes. Then he gave us a summary of the highlights of the volumes, of themes, of knowledges. He gave us a summary. And then he takes us into the volumes so that we can learn further. Again, Father Annuzzi is only going to teach us so much. Jesus is going to take us to the finish line. Mary is going to take us to the finish line. But what this will do is it'll get us in the right point. It'll get us in the right door. And we will have that, quote, theological understanding. We'll have the answer to the question, perhaps, before we even have the question, which is a good thing. Marie, any thoughts on any of that?
No, Peter. You said
dribble.
It all.
Okay.
No, good.
but you know, another thing I was also thinking about, and I don't mean this to be harsh, I don't mean this to be anything but really loving, but I had this thought today, and I said, okay, God has been taking us on this journey, and it doesn't matter how long we've been journeying, whether it's 30 years, 3 months, or 3 days. I was thinking to myself, God is waiting for us to basically turn the corner. He gives us the field. Remember, a field, we're running straight in the field. But then there's a time we have to exit the field and go next to our Lord and our Lady. And I was just wondering, for myself as well, how many cenacles am I going to have to listen to? How many retreats am I going to have to go on? How much knowledge am I going to have to possess before I can really honestly give my fiat? When I can honestly say, okay, this isn't just something that I'm evolving into. This is something that I'm actually in. Because I think that's what's really astonishing. I think many of us think about, you know, we're journeying and no matter how long it takes us, we need to, you know, get to where Luis is. And that is the end game, of course. But that doesn't mean that all along the journey, we're learning this in the exile series, God is looking at us, working through all these obstacles, this labyrinth. You know, he's watching us hit the mirrors and bounce off here and bounce off there, and he's becoming enthralled with our perseverance. So I'm just wondering, how much is it going to take for us to say, okay, Lord, you say you want me to give this everything. You say you want me to make this my life. And again, that doesn't mean we disregard our obligations. We don't quit our jobs. You know, leave our family. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about putting everything else aside. You know, Jesus tells us about giving up even holy things, to embrace this first, and then we can go back to those holy things. But now those holy things are taken to a new level, a higher level, much higher level. And Our Lady also said the same thing. We have to give up holy things. But she goes on to say also, she gives a caveat. She says, but all according to the circumstances. Because there may come times when we cannot give up those holy things because there are many things tied to it. And I think I've given the analogy of the soup kitchen. If you're the only one, you and a partner attending a soup kitchen, it's your turn this weekend, and you say, "Oh, I'm going to study the divine will. I can't go to the soup kitchen." And, you know, 100 families are going to go hungry. That, I think, would be what Our Lady's talking about. Everything according to the circumstances. Perhaps you can do a better good by being at that soup kitchen at that particular time. But what he's saying is he's really, I think, trying, Maureen, to help us streamline our time, reallocate our time, reprioritize our time, and make better use of our time. And if we remember that phrase, better use of our time, the souls in purgatory, when conveying to mystics, have expressed that if they had to do it all over again, they would have made better use of the time they had while on earth. They would have cut out the frivolous activities, the non-interest bearing, things that we do in our lives that actually, if you think about it, consume a great bit of our time. So I'm just wondering about that. I mean, how many hours are we going to have to spend? How many cynicals? I mean, we're always going to listen to cynicals. Yeah, I know. We're always going to have to go to retreats. But remember also I thought the same thing, Maureen. But, again, maybe
I mean, it has to become, for me, I mean, it has to be my life. So I can't see it ever ending. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to just keep learning and learning. It's like when you get when a child gets braces, if you take the braces off, his teeth go back. You know what I mean? I just feel like I'm going to have to constantly, I'll say, Lord, I want this, but I know I'm going to fall. But that's okay. I get up again. And the good thing is he knows our heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And if we have a desire like that ardent desire, he knows it. And if we don't, he knows that. So I don't know.
It's it is the intention. You're right. He knows our intentions. And he says, if you do all you can do with that intention, and fall short, he says, I'll fill in the void. I'll do the rest and actually give you merit as if you did it by yourself. No, what I mean is, I think we're looking at it. I think we're looking at it too difficultly.
I think you're right.
Only because I read again, I don't know if it's volume 6 or volume 13, where Jesus says, if you're in the state of grace, if you have an ardent desire, and you have an upright intention, which basically just means we're doing this for God above all. He says, I will allow you to enter into this gift. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. To enter. Now, again, when we enter into the gift, that's when our work begins. Mm-hmm. Because you've heard Father Celso says, do you want this 30, 60, 90, or 100 fold? Once we're entering into the gift, now God says, well, how much do you want this? It's like going into that mansion. We're in the foyer. I mean, are you going to take the stairs up and down? Are you going to try to find out these knowledge? Because the more we learn, the more we're going to be great, the more we're going to jump for joy that we've been introduced to this gift. And the more that we're going to be grounded and really, truly making this our lives. But I was just wondering, how long is it going to take? I mean, it shouldn't take us, any of us, very long to at least make that determination that this is everything, that there's nothing greater than this. And yes, I've got to balance my life and everything God has given me, because he's never going to give me more than I can handle. But I need to make this my life. And I think I fall short of that many times. I mean, sometimes I do okay, but many times I fall short. And I'm just wondering myself, how many cynicals must I listen to? Mm-hmm. How many retreats must I go on? And I think if we look at that and we earnestly look at what we know. Jesus told Louisa, I love this line. He says, I'm paraphrasing again. There's much I have already given you that you have not fully masticated. End quote. I think we can say the same for ourselves. Think about what we have, what we've been given already, what we've heard, what we've read, what we've listened to. Is that not enough to say, you know what? This is like nothing else. I think we have enough. And to your point, Maureen, also, I think you're right. I think if we were trying to do this on our own, first of all, I think it's impossible to do this on our own. And yes, we'd spend all our life working on it, and we maybe move an inch or two, that's all. We are only able to enter into this gift, grow in this gift, and possess this gift through, with, and because of divine grace. It's absolutely grace. And that's why God makes us aware of that, because who does he take? He takes the lowly. He takes the little, not the very important. He did all throughout history, whether it be Sister Faustina, whether it be Father Gobi, the little Mother Teresa, and he made great souls. And people know, they say, okay, I know her. I know him. It had to be God. And you know what I was reading also? I mean, we talk about also, the divine will coming through the Pope. Well, how about 2 Peter 1:4? quote, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature, end quote. So partakers of the divine nature, a strong expression to describe the transformation of human nature by divine grace, that transmutation that is only possible through God. We can't do that ourselves. So I think, to your point, I think if we had that desire and we have little capability of really growing on our own, I should say, he's going to be there. Remember what he also tells us too. Four things that we need. Well, he just told us what's needed to get into the gift. But four things necessary to receive this gift. One being the state of grace. This is Jesus's words. These are not mine. Two, have an ardent desire. Three, have an upright intention. And four, ask. He wants to ask. He says, all of creation is mute. I want to hear you ask for this gift. Mm-hmm. Then you want it. So that's the four things. And then what does he tell us? How does this transgression or this succession work? Well, he tells us desire. It's all A's too. No wonder A is the best score you can get, right? Desire admits us to this gift. Knowledge advances us in this gift. Virtues anchor us in this gift. And life actualizes us in this gift.
I think we can do like little things. Excuse me. Like we can do little things. Like for instance, for me, it was not taking my phone into my bedroom. So I say, well, I'm not bringing my phone into my bedroom. I'm going to take the volumes. So that's what I do. So that little thing right there, for me, I'm saying, look, Lord, I'm leaving my phone in the kitchen tonight and I'm taking my volumes up and I'm going to read them before I go to bed. Instead of like little things like that, I think help us because we're putting, it's very tiny and it's little and it's not a huge sacrifice, but it's something little that we're saying we want the divine will instead of this. Or when you get in the car, you turn on a podcast, or you go onto Mary's Hill or something like that. There's little things because I think Jesus likes to see that. He says, oh, okay. So you really do want to learn this. You know, you're putting the world aside, the little things of the world, and you're taking me instead. And I think Jesus loves that. And little things like that help us.
Yeah. And you can bring your phone into your bedroom as long as you have the volumes on your phone.
Yeah, well, you don't have a phone.
I don't have a cell phone now. You have a cell phone. I have a cell phone. When I was in business, I was carrying like three. I had two different cell phones, one corporate, one private. I had, years ago, they had those other things too with those all those pagers. I forget what they were. I mean, they were all kinds of leashes, but I don't have a cell phone.
And, you know, if I bought the cell phone in, though, I would look at something and then I would get lost in it. Okay. You don't know that because you don't have a cell phone, but that's what happens to us. Yeah. I'm sure everyone that's listening. You get sidetracked. So I kind of have to leave it aside. And then I'll read the Kingdom of the Blessed Mother book or the Passion or the volume that I'm reading at that point. And, you know, you only read for 15 minutes or so, but still. And then as you go to sleep, you're thinking about what you read instead of what happened during the day and this, that, the other thing. So it's got a lot of benefits to it.
Well, it does, because if you actually look at what, I promised the last thing I'm going to say before we start. But if you look at what, again, when I heard ardent desire, okay, oh, that ardent desire must be a strong desire. Well, it's a little bit more than that. There are components to it. And Jesus articulates what are the ingredients in an ardent desire. You know, like you need ingredients to bake something. Well, these are ingredients that are necessary to form this ardent desire. And Father Annuzzi extrapolated out of the volumes and he put it into a Word doc. And then we just created a little bit of a visual and he double checked it. Says it's okay. So if you want to go to the website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and go on the page entitled The Divine Will Visual Aids and look for ardent desire, you'll see what, I mean, some are common sense and some are, wow, am I doing that? I mean, everything is easy to do there. Everything is within our capability to do to form this ardent desire, but it does take discipline. It takes trust and it takes faith. And again, I go back to how many cenacles do we need? How many retreats do we need to turn the corner to say, you know what, God, this is, what is it going to take for us to emulate Matthew? Jesus could have given a whole diatribe. Oh, well, this is why you should follow me, Matthew. And this is what I've done. All he did was look at Matthew and say, follow me.
Mm.
And Matthew was disposed to say, I'm leaving everything.
Yeah.
He left everything. God's not even asking us to leave everything. He's just asking us to set it aside and embrace this. And they go back to that because all that's going to have a different meaning, either lesser or greater. Maureen, what I thought is it's a long summary. Why don't we just start with the Maximus, this paragraph here, because we're still on. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then we can just stop at 301, the green, because that's where we are. I think the last footnote, 301. And again, this is the summary that Father Nuzzi created, which takes several passages and summarizes them, puts them in order. And then again, he's going to drive us into the volumes to corroborate, number one, his summary, but also to allow Jesus and Mary now to expand our understanding, expand our capacity.
Maximus's and Louise's cosmology conveys that in the measure in which human will assimilates the divinizing will of Christ, for whom and through whom all substances in the cosmos are made, the human will invariably penetrates and divinizes these very substances. As noted in the second chapter on the fiat of creation, Adam gave continuous thanks and loving worship to his heavenly Father in and through creation, so that, resounding through the cosmos as the divine echo, he might maintain the divine order God placed within creation. Louisa affirms that the soul that lives in the divine will may acquire the same interior state as prelapsarian Adam and may arrive at becoming centered within God and all of creation centered within itself. Because the soul's acts participate in God's one eternal operation, God brings forth his operation ad extra from within the depths of this soul and enables it to share in his work of creation. To Louisa, Jesus reveals that the aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will and to restore creation to its original splendor by the assimilation of Jesus's groans of love.
Groans of love. I love the one sentence here where it says, Adam gave, again, this is Adam making the rounds, which was his full-time job, filling the void that God placed in him. Adam gave continuous thanks and loving worship to his heavenly Father in and through creation, so that resounding throughout the cosmos as divine echo, he might maintain the divine order God placed within creation. Again, by going around, but by using creation for the intention in which they were created by God, to bring us back to God, to remind us of God's glory, and his majesty and his benevolence. And I just thought about, maintaining, everything in creation to maintain the order. I have silly analogies sometimes, but I'm thinking about the guy or the gal that's in the circus, the guy who spins the plates, and all he does is keep going around and making sure that every plate's spinning. I mean, that's his job, just to go maintain the order in the plates. Well, Adam was doing the same thing. He wasn't placating creation, but he was using creation in the form and the way of which God created creation. He gave us a reminder of him in every time we look at anything, as long as it's not unholy, we remember God. Yeah, we see the tree. We don't see God's face in the tree, although some of us may see that. But we remember God's majesty in the creation of the tree, of the fruit, of the leaves, the trunk, everything about it is all a gift. Again, to give us an opportunity, a reason, an excuse, for lack of a better word, to think of God, to honor God, to love God. And that's all he did. And that's what really bringing us back to that is we're picking up where Adam left off. We're getting Adam's job because Adam was basically fired. I think it's beautiful. Okay, so that's 301, the footnote. We've gotten a couple 301s. Let me have an essence here. Okay. Couple things that I like about this is this is one of my favorite passages, but we can't touch on it right now. If we have time later, we will. But volume 11, September 25th, 1913, I think that, again, if we need any further energy to make us turn that corner, to send us off, send them out like the song, it's this one, because Jesus explains that everything that he has created in the last 2,000 years, everything that he's given mankind, the church, the sacraments, the saints, the Eucharist, everything has been, quote, a means, quote, a seed in which to help us go back and come back to the divine will of God. So how can we get stuck in any of this and just stay there? We can't. That's why the church keeps moving. And of course, because it's run by humans, it's going to be divinely influenced, but run by humans. Two steps forward, one step back. Don't be dismayed with the one step back, because it's going to be going two steps forward. Remember St. Cyril, when he said of Jerusalem, he said, when things get difficult, you have to just make some tough choices. He says, quote, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. So we may have to make some tough, difficult decisions, you know, coming up, but we may have to realign ourselves with, I'm not saying kick out our family, but what I'm saying is we may be rethinking some of our friendships and rethinking some of our alliances. Because again, like we've told, we're playing a different game now than any of our friends in the past that we knew and we're familiar with. And not because we're special, not because we're even close to better than them. No, on the contrary. But God has given us something, just like St. Louis de Montfort said, the greatest of all saints will be at the end times. Not because they're greater people, but because the gift is great. I mean, who can build a better house? If you have two carpenters, you give one carpenter a hammer, a couple nails, and a couple planks of wood. And you give the other carpenter, you give him a backhoe, a crane, you know, a couple masons. I mean, who can build the better house? Of course, the second one can, even if he's not as skilled as the first, because he's got more to work with. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort was talking about when he said the saints in the end times will be the greatest, because look what we have to work with, the greatest of all gifts. So I just thought that was interesting. Okay, so this is 301. And so again, please read this when you can. Maybe next week we'll touch on that. But that's one of my favorites, but this is another one of my favorites also. But this one, Maureen is going to thank God, take us through.
Volume 14, September 11th, 1922. The primary purpose of all that God has done in creation and redemption is that the creature would live in the divine will. Only in the divine will is there true rest. Continuing in my usual state, I was abandoning all of myself in the holy will of my sweet Jesus, and feeling the need to rest, I said to myself, also my sleep in your will, I want nothing else but take true rest in the arms of your volition. And Jesus, daughter, lay your rest as a mantle over all creatures, so as to cover them all, because only in my will is there true rest.
I want to pause there for a moment, Maureen. You know, true rest, true peace, true contentment, all that. Is it St. Augustine? I forget now, please. I think it's St. Augustine, maybe Aquinas. No, I think it's St. Augustine, who said that the soul will be restless until it reunites with God. So no matter what we acquire in this world, what we do in this world, in the secular world, even in the religious world, unless we have that union, that, again, what St. Peter said in Peter 2, 1, 4, this divine nature, until we reacquire that divine nature and start using that again, our soul is always going to be restless. We're never going to be content, because naturally, in nature, we have not gotten what we need to have that rest. And, you know, nurse, you know, I do, you can have rest, but a restless rest versus a peaceful rest. I mean, the body recognizes it as night and day. One is beneficial. One can be traumatic to the body if you do it often enough. So here, God's saying, you want rest, you want true rest. Come here. And this really is rest, because if you think about it, God is doing all the work. Let's go back to our Blessed Mother. She gave her fiat. God did all the work for her. Mary, our beautiful Blessed Mother, she just cooperated. She said, let it be done. Go ahead. Do what you say. I give you full permission. Basically, that's what he's waiting for us to say too. To your point also, Marie, until we again turn that corner, I think, God's not sure. He thinks we're, as much as we think we want this gift, we're still pretty much on the fence. You know that phrase, on the fence? I mean, this fence is not like a small pole. This is like a mile long plank. I mean, we're still on the fence. We keep moving toward the edge, but we're not quite there yet.
I think he's kind of like saying, we're telling him all these nice things. Oh, Jesus. He says, yeah, show me,
yeah.
You know, like you can't pull anything over Jesus's eyes. show me you want it. Don't just talk. Talk is cheap. Let me see you do it. Let me see you give up. Let me see you, you know, which is good. That's what we need.
Oh yeah.
You know, we can't, we got to be real with this. And every once in a while we get a treat and we say, oh my gosh, that was awesome. And I got it, you know? And so it gives you encouragement and you want to keep reading. What I like here is it says, daughter, lay your rest as a mantle over all creatures so as to cover them all. So Louise is telling Jesus what she wants. And he says, over all creatures. So this is a movement to save all souls. You know, it's not just one. It's not just us. We're helping save the human race, really. I mean, that's how I see it. To bring the kingdom down. Kingdom, yeah. I see it just hanging there. And every time we do an act, it comes down a little bit further. Tick, tick, tick. You know, just coming down. So we have a huge role to play.
Well, you know, I think, Maureen, to your point, that's a very good point you made. I think Jesus is really giving Louisa what she wants. Because if you remember, every time Jesus gives Louisa something, she always says something like, well, what about the other souls?
Well,
can't they have it? She's always thinking about others.
Yeah. She's an advocate herself. For us.
So since God knows her intention, not the lip service intention, the true intention in her heart and her soul, he's giving her what she wants. He's saying, okay, I'm not just giving it to you, daughter, but lay your rest on behalf of all, over all creatures, so as to cover them all. So he's giving her the equipment, in essence, to cover all souls.
Yeah.
Could she cover all souls without the equipment by God? No. But he's giving it to her because that's what she wants. Remember, what is it? Father Celso says God has to give us what we want.
Yeah.
So again, God is a perfect example. God is giving Louisa what she wants.
Yeah.
She really is truly concerned with all souls.
Yeah.
So he's allowing her to do everything on behalf of all souls. We should be so fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And since it envelops everything, as you rest in my will, you will lay yourself over all in order to impetrate true rest for all. How beautiful it is to see creatures of ours resting in the arms of our will.
Which is really quick later, because I think we talked about it. But again, I think God is moving to that point that this is our true rest. This will be his true rest. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
When all souls come back to the divine world, that's his true rest.
Mm-hmm.
Creation is still generating things. It's still active. It's not complete. You see, Jesus, that's not my words. Jesus tells Louisa that. Because again, we haven't come back yet. This is final stage that God is given to us in this gift. And he's made it available to everybody. I don't know if I have that quote here, but he says, I've made this available to all souls. He says, I've made it available in all situations, in all circumstances, in all conditions, except for those who don't want it. That's exactly what he says. So we don't have to worry about where we are, or what we're doing, or where we've been, or as long as we're, again, in a state of grace, we have a desire for this gift, we have an upright intention, we want to do it for God, we don't just want this for ourselves. He says, I'm going to give it to you. He's really looking for an excuse, an opportunity to give it to everyone. But he needs to see something in the way of us desiring it. And he can't just give it because that wouldn't be justice. He has to see that we want this. And then now he's saying, okay, well, you want it, and I want you to want it for others. Because he says, you must possess this gift before you can even advocate this gift for others. But by advocating before we receive it, will help us receive it. Again, it's sort of like we need to go back to go forward. It's a long story, but bottom line is, Louisa always had other souls, always in her intention list, always on her mind, always in her heart. She wanted, in fact, she would actually put other souls before herself. And I think that's what God is telling us that we ought to do somehow. Okay.
But in order to find true rest, it is necessary that she put all of her acts, her words, her love, her desires, etc., on their way within our will, so that as they take their place in it, they may receive rest, and I may receive rest in them. Only then do all works give rest when they are fulfilled. But if they are not fulfilled, they always give some concern, something to do, which renders true rest restless.
See, you can't rest. God can't rest until we're all back. You know, it's like in scripture, the one lost sheep, you know, the 99 are okay. I'm going to go get that last lost sheep, that one. And he's waiting. So if nothing more, let's think about the rest that God needs. And let's try to turn this corner as quickly as we can.
And it's hard. I was just thinking, Peter, about, I don't know why I was thinking of all that Jesus did in the redemption. I mean, you know, when you read the hours of the Passion, you really come to understand the suffering, the inside suffering and the outward suffering. But that wasn't even, he wasn't even finished with us, giving to us. That wasn't, we weren't even there yet. I mean, all that he did for us, and he still has more. And it makes you realize, maybe not quite understand, but you begin to realize that this gift is something that is almost incomprehensible unless we really get the grace, because it's greater than creation and redemption combined. How can that even be? And so God wants to explain it to us. You know, he wants our time. Otherwise, it's in our human brains of this low world that we live in. How could we even begin to understand it? So it's a great gift. He says, I have a gift for you. Let me show you how it works. So we just have to give him the time. And, you know, it's really fascinating. I mean, it's wonderful.
And speaking of the time, once we do the next paragraph, when we get to the second paragraph, the one that's bolded, you're going to hear Jesus say exactly what you said, Maureen, and then he's going to tell us at the end, that's why I embrace this gift.
Oh, wow.
Do okay. Everything I say. So let's see if we can get through this because we're running. How okay. are you on time today?
I'm good. Okay. Now, the fulfillment of the work of creation was that man would do our will in everything. Our will was to be the life, the food, the crown of the creature. And since it is not yet so, the work of creation is not yet fulfilled, and neither can I rest in it, nor can it rest in me. It gives me always something to do, and I yearn for this fulfillment and rest. This is why I love and want so much that the way of living in my will be known. Nor will I ever be able to say that the works of creation and redemption are fulfilled if I do not have all the acts of the creature extending in my will like a bed to give me rest. And I, what beautiful rest shall I not give to her in seeing her coming back on the wings of our will with the seal of the fulfillment of creation? My womb will be her bed.
I had to stick that cross in there. I forgot to put it there. But, well, this is exactly what we were just discussing. Creation is not fulfilled yet. We haven't gone back. And the same thing for the church. The church has not fulfilled its mission, which is to bring us back. And we're going to hear God now. Now, this is one of the, again, one of my favorite passages, one of the favorite parts of it. I probably repeat this to nauseam, and I apologize for that. But, every time I read it, I just get something more out of it. And if you just listen to what he says here, how can we not say, this is it. This is everything. Lord, do it with me as you say. I can't wait for you to read this, Marie.
Okay. Therefore, there is nothing I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means to let man reach this possession of my will. Therefore, neglect nothing of what I want about my will, both in with writing and with words and with works. From this alone you can know that the living in my will is the greatest thing, the most important, that which interests me the most from the so many preparations that have preceded it.
I mean, that's everything.
Yeah.
God has just said that this is everything, that everything he's done has had as his purpose to bring us back. So they've all been, again, we're not trivializing any of this because they're all so vitally necessary. They're all stepping stones. They're all steps to stairway to heaven. And the Eucharist is the greatest of the sacraments because it's the divine will. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Catechism teaches us for the 15 to 20 minutes until the host dissolves. And this is why Jesus can say the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. Not because God is greater than God. This is not a competition of God. But what is greater? The divine will for 15 or 20 minutes or a perennial communion that never ends? Of course, the perennial is greater. That's how he draws the delineation. So if we start out a conversation with somebody and tell somebody, well, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. I mean, they're going to run away. And it's unfair just to give them that because that sounds heretical in of itself. But when Jesus explains it, it makes perfect sense. It's like, what's greater, a 12-ounce glass of water or a 24-ounce glass of water? What's greater? Well, it's all water. Oh, but 24 is greater. There's more of it. So I think that was beautiful. And it's going to get better also here.
Okay. And do you want to know where this seed of my will was sown? In my humanity. In it, it germinated, was born and grew. This seed can be seen in my wounds, in my blood, wanting to be transplanted into the creature so that she may take possession of my will and I of hers. And so that the work of creation may return to the origin from which it came, not only through my humanity, but also through the creature herself.
I think you touched on this earlier, Maureen, about all that God did for us, all the suffering, all all of this, the work that God is continuing to do, because as he says, as we just read, he cannot rest. It's like the parents of a teenager who goes out for the first time, most of them cannot rest until that child comes home.
That's true. I went through it.
You're going to be up and you're going to be praying probably. And you're going to be hoping that they're going to meet that curfew because you don't want to give a tough love and say you can't go out again. So God is doing something similar to that. He's waiting. He's watching. And that's what he says in the Exodus. Remember, Maureen? Mm-hmm. He says, I'm watching you. I'm taking the... You're enchanting me by your perseverance, by your faith, by your not allowing these obstacles to curtail your journey. Mm-hmm. You're striving, you're moving forward. Again, when are we going to make the turn? When are we going to come out of the field and say, okay, Lord, you got me. I'm yours. That's when we're going to see things start to leap because, again, this is not us. We have very little control over what we do here. We can give our desire. We can do our work. But God's going to give us those mystical gifts and graces that are going to be able to propel us. Okay. This is really great also. We'll end with these last couple of sentences here, please.
Okay. They will be few, but if even one alone, was it not one alone? He who withdrawing from my will disfigured and broke my plans and destroyed the purpose of creation?
How's this? What a great, analogy here he gives about Adam. If Adam could have lost, if one person, one man could have lost it for all creatures, wouldn't I not do this for one? He says there will be few, so don't look around for thousands at first. Yeah, I don't know how many of us there are out there, but they're not many. And that doesn't matter. This is not a numbers game. This is not like this is not multi-level marketing. This is, it doesn't matter how many. Again, this is quality over quantity. So just be grateful that we've been called. We do our best to establish, help establish God's pathways so that others may follow. And that's all we can do. And pray, of course, making the rounds are the greatest way to influence all other souls, past, present, and future. Sorry about that, Israel Marie.
That's right. In the same way, one alone can adorn it and fulfill its purpose. However, my works never remain isolated. So I will have the army of the souls who will live in my will, and in them I will have my creation restored, all beautiful and striking, just as it came out of my hands. Otherwise, I would not have so much interest in making my will known.
It's done. He doesn't say how big the army is going to be, but he'll have an army. He'll have who he needs, when he needs. I think it was it Father Nuzzi? No, Father Celso may have said that there's a certain number of souls that must embrace this gift, that must give their fiat. And once those souls do that, that's when God's going to usher this in throughout the entire world, the entire cosmos. So he may be waiting for me.
Yeah, I wonder how many that is.
We don't know. We don't have to worry about it. All we have to be is concerned with ourselves. Are we making the journey? Are we making the leap of faith? The Son of My Will, the biography of Louisa, published by the Vatican Publishing Company, says this does, in the conclusion, says this, page 222, this does appear to be the greatest gift that God wants to give to mankind. But it does require a leap in the extraordinary, a leap of faith, basically. We have to have a leap of faith. God said, your faith has healed you. He says, when I return, will I find faith? Faith is very important to God. It's believing, it's trusting in Him. It's believing without seeing, but God's actually allowing us to see, which is really incredible.
Yeah.
Final thoughts, Maureen?
No, I did, but I forgot what I was going to say, so I'm not going to pretend.
As I'm introducing Sunday, if you think about it, come back.
Okay.
But please go to this. This is a great analogy as to the Eucharist and the Divine Will in Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Okay, while Maureen's getting her memory back, want to just remind everyone on Sunday, September 3rd, we'll be joined by Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi for his Divine Will Q&A. Again, things will get started at 1:30 with the Rosary and the Divine Will and Adoration. And 2:15, Father will join us for an hour and 15 minutes of Q&A. The late Archbishop Pacheri says all those journeying should have a priest for any theological questions they may have. Here it is. Here's your opportunity. Father gives you a Q&A on his website. He gives a Q&A every other week here at Mary's Hill. This is your chance, especially for those who are facilitating groups. You definitely need to know the answers to questions that the group has. So again, maybe you ask a collective question to Father or questions. And again, if you can't tackle all the questions in the period of time that we have, just send us an email and we'll get it to Father and explain to Father the urgency, and we'll get you an answer as quickly as we can. I don't have the other. We also have a Divine Will Day of Recollection coming up by Father Celso. He's returning from the summer hiatus, and that'll be on Saturday, September 9th. I think that's all. Anything else, Maureen?
Well, I remember what I was going to say. I mean,
oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that interesting, but since you asked me, I was just thinking of the apostles and how there was 12 of them and how they spread the Christianity. But now their acts, I mean, they weren't in the divine will. And so everything that we do is multiplied, right? I mean, all our acts and rounds, past, present, and future. So we shouldn't worry about the number, because everything is just multiplied to it. I mean, it's eternal. Just goes forward and back as far as the eye can see. I mean, we can't even compare it to normal human activity. You know, it's just, so we should never worry about how many. God will take care of all that.
Yeah.
He can do what he wants with a small group, with all the axe and rounds. And, you know.
And he told us right there, there's going to be few. So, you know, we don't have to look. That shouldn't really even be our concern.
No.
How many, or is he, is she, or am I living? Even ourselves, we shouldn't be questioning, am I living into my will?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what Jesus says? Are you in the state of grace? Do you have an ardent desire? You know, do you have an upright intention? Are you asking for the gift? My answer is sometimes.
Yeah.
So
in and out.
It's got to be more constant than that. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we need each other, to help support each other to continue this journey, because it's the greatest of all gifts. And thanks be to God for allowing us to be alive at this time, to receive this gift, to recognize it as something extraordinary, as recognizing it as the gift of all gifts. And we give a personal thanks to Maureen's father, Deacon John Thompson, for changing our lives forever by introducing this gift to us on October 13th, 2014, mm-hmm. a day that will live in my heart and in my mind, hopefully, as long as I don't get any Alzheimer's. But I'll write the date down so I don't forget. And I'll put it in a safe place and where it may not be. Anyway, so hopefully I see everyone on Sunday with Father Nuzzi. And again, if you have your theological questions on the divine will, get them ready. And like I said, if time does not permit for your questions to be answered, because, you know, Father can only, when he gets on a tangent, he gets very thorough answers. If he doesn't address your question and it's important, just send us an email and we'll get it to him and say, Father, we really need this. And he does a really good job of doing that. He'll be in the States for another 3 weeks or so, and then he returns back to Italy. We don't know how long. So let's take advantage of what we have him here. But we're still going to have him also when he's in Italy, but it's easier when he's here time-wise. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, everybody.
God willing. See everyone Sunday.
Okay.
Bye, everyone. Love one another. We are going to need each other more than we ever think. Bye-bye.